Hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a podcast. And today, let's dive deep into the secrets of the smile and the dentition. We have Dr. John Marashi. He's a world-renowned cosmetic dentist. He's really celebrated for his ability to craft confident, natural smiles for actually some of the top biggest names in Hollywood, including like Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and Cher, and Kate Hudson. 2 decades of experience. He's been doing this for 20 years, even though he just looks like he's 30. And he's super meticulous, very artistic, and innovative. Cher said he was the Tom Ford of cosmetic dentistry. That's like a tombstone line. I love that. And so, welcome to the podcast. Let's talk about all of your beautiful work, John.
Thanks so much for having me. And it's my passion. It's what I was put on this planet to do, was to help people look better and feel better about themselves. And no better way to do it through a smile, right? It's your greeting card.
It is your greeting card. So many of us grow up with insecurities about smiles, I think from maybe bad pediatric dentistry or parents who didn't give you orthodontics at the right time. Like, when is it that this problem culminates? Is it in their 20s that people decide to take action, or do people wait till they're 40, 50?
What's interesting is my generation, if you were lucky when you were like in middle school or high school, you got braces, right? And you'd get straight teeth. And most people will equate straight teeth with an attractive smile. And there is an element of that. And one of the things I've learned over the years is that straight teeth and beautiful teeth are not always synonymous with one another. So a lot of the folks that I treat have perfectly straight teeth. They had orthodontics or regular braces, or even as an adult, they did Invisalign. So it's an interesting, a lot of people never even thought about that. They said, oh yeah, you're right. They could be straight, but they could still be misshapen or have surface defects on them, discolorations, cracks, chips, things of that nature. So straightening them is just one component of it. But back to your question about when are people thinking about it? I think because having an attractive smile has become so incredibly mainstream, and the lips are part of that, of course. I think that there is a heightened awareness around it, where people think about it at a much younger age, and parents think about it for their kids at a much younger age, and they're rushing their kids into the orthodontist. Like both my girls, they started ortho around 7 years old, and they didn't have regular braces, but they started with palatal expanders just to start shaping the jaw. And that's an incredible part of the entire process, is having your jaw develop correctly, because it's having expansion of your arch that gives you the fullness and the room for your teeth to come in. But the other thing that it does, and I want you to think about this, is it also helps your airway. And so that's it's a hot topic just in health in general. So it exceeds the whole beauty component, but if you're expanding your jaw, you have more volume in the mouth. Breathing tends to be, easier because you have more room for your tongue. Having a broad smile, it looks fantastic.
That's incredibly important. And I think even in facial aesthetics, the idea of a broad palate and mid-face supports beauty as we age, because the mid-face buttress is kind of so important to, giving you good zygomatic arch. And so, yeah, that idea, when I was little, if your teeth didn't fit right, they pulled out
Yeah.
the teeth, and they did not do that kind of teeth and palate expansion. So I'm really glad dentistry is evolving to that.
Well, fortunately, and at the time, the profession of dentistry and orthodontics, they just didn't know differently. And so, there was nothing intentional. But what happened is, you'd pull teeth to make room, and then in order to close the resulting space, you had to cinch the teeth together, and then they would slant inwards instead of outwards, and that's essentially collapsing the smile and the bite. One of the ways that I'll describe this to a patient when they're trying to wrap their head around it is simply this. If you ever saw someone like someone who had dentures in their mouth, and they take the dentures out, what happens to their face? You watch the whole thing just smush and collapse, right? And then they
Exactly.
put the dentures back in, and it props it back open. So that really shows how teeth support the lower third of the face, and they also support the lips. Well, we also know that the lower one third of the face ages faster than any part of the face. And why is that? Because we use our teeth as tools, right? And so we know over time, You can smash and bash and grind your teeth, and as the teeth get smaller, they get closer together, and the distance between your nose and your chin can actually decrease. And so you're lowering the lower facial height or the lower one-third of your face, and that makes you look older as well. You look at an older person and a younger person, like with photos, and you'll always see the lower half of their face looks longer, that has more of a tapered jawline versus a compressed one. So teeth really have a profound effect on that.
That's very true. Just an aging face in general, like when we give people chin projection back, or we improve, the antagonal notch, or the kind of thinning and atrophy of the mandible, that we just really improve jowling and the ability for the skin to be supported. I always tell my patients that the teeth are like the table, and the lips and skin are like the tablecloth that just drapes according to how the foundation and the skeleton.
Yeah, that's a
So
great way of describing it.
yeah, you talk a little bit about the art of the understated smile. So what is that? And
Yeah, so I like to call it quiet luxury for the smile. And I think people can really relate to that. So, there's probably not a person, in, modern civilization that has not seen someone, whether it's a friend or someone on TV, that had these crazy big white teeth. And you hear all the jokes, horse teeth and chiclets and so forth. And there was a period in dentistry where bigger and whiter was better. And it was, kind of a like a flex or a status symbol. Not my cup of tea. And my entire career, I have always tried approaching aesthetic dentistry as making the smile look like something you were actually born with. That's where the understated elegance rolls into it. So when I look at someone, I'm trying to figure out, okay, I want to look at the shape and size and color, position of the teeth. I need to look and see where their cheekbones are sitting, what their jawline is like. And then I need to watch them talk and have facial expressions and see how the mouth moves and how the lip moves. Because, as we know, the teeth support the lips. And we also want to make sure that phonetics are correct because your teeth and your tongue and your lips all have to work together in terms of speech. And then there's another component associated with this. And I think you could probably relate to this really well. What's the personality of the individual? Are we dealing with an introvert? Are we dealing with an extrovert? Who is this person? And I like to spend time to really get to know my patients to understand when we're going to design their smile, okay, how do we take what I think is going to be good for them and take their personal preferences and take my experience and kind of figure out who they are and really custom tailor something that looks good for them? I mean, how many times you could probably have neighbors, right? And maybe they want to come to you for maybe just for some lip filler. And one of them is like, go to the room and get another couple boxes of that stuff. And then the other one's like, just a little, just a little, just a little. So, teeth are no different, right? And so, you're trying to understand who it is that you're working with because you want to make them happy, but you also want to color in the lines. That's I don't like coloring outside the line.
Well, what are some of the biggest mistakes that people can make when they're trying to achieve like a perfect, beautiful white tooth smile? Is that doing what you said, like going to the extreme of too white, too much like a chiclet?
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to two categories. Okay, so the first is the outcome, of course, which is teeth that just simply create what I like to call visual tension with how the individual works. It'd be like walking into a dinner party and you got like ketchup smeared or on the side of your cheek. Something doesn't look right. It's going to catch everyone's eye. And so if your teeth are out of proportion for your facial structure and what your smile looks like because they're too big, they're too white, they're too thick, they're too long, they're too this, too that, then it looks out of place. It doesn't blend in with the overall aesthetic of the individual. And that's just going to draw negative attention. So I look at those things as a miss as far as what the outcome is going to be.
You talk about how, and today's my birthday, and we were talking about aging in general, but how can your smile give away your age? And what kind of changes do you see that you can tell a young smile from an older smile?
When you have a conversation with someone, when the mouth is is sort of a resting position with the lips apart, there was a study done years ago where they took, it was like 5 years worth of Miss America contest winners and measured how much of the central incisors, that's the two front teeth, you could see below the lip when they were talking. And the average was around somewhere around 3.5 millimeters. And as we age, if the teeth get shorter, then that's considered visually less attractive. If you don't see any teeth in the person's mouth, top teeth, when you're talking to them, that translates as a sign of advanced aging. So you could take two people the same age, one shows more teeth, one shows less teeth, and the person that shows less teeth is going to look a lot older. Sometimes when the top teeth are worn down, the bottom teeth will actually shift upwards. It's just a migration pattern of how they chew and grind and their bite works. And when they're talking and you just see lots of bottom teeth, that's an advanced age look as well. So you can really take the same person and wipe 5 years, 10 years off their face just by putting teeth that have the proper amount of length and show when they're talking and they're smiling. It's pretty amazing.
You can pretty much look at a mouth and gauge within 5 years how old a patient is, I bet.
You know, you see enough of it, you just kind of understand, you know, the trends. It's probably like you looking at skin. I mean, there's outliers for it all. You know, someone who spent their whole life in the sun, I suppose, or a sun worshiper, you kind of have a general sense of it. And there are things, obviously, you know, deleterious habits, you know, things that you can ransack your skin with and things you can ransack your teeth with. You know, not to take a hard left turn, but one of the things that I really love about enhancing the smile is that if you give a little bit of length, but also a little bit of horizontal fullness, you get that horizontal smile, kind of looks, you know, like the grin of a Cheshire cat, and that's considered highly desirable. And you can take people who have a lack of fullness in their lips, and now all of a sudden they're better supported. And what I've seen from the best dermatologists and the best plastic surgeons is when they're looking at the overall aesthetic of an individual, they'll usually say, "Hey, look, your teeth are not up to par. Let's get your teeth done first because that's going to change how much we pull or how much we fill because of how the teeth support the lips." And especially if you're building someone's bite back up, that's going to elongate the lower third of the face. So I'll tell you a funny story. So oftentimes I'll get women who come in and they got lip filler and it looks like, you know, they had a, you know, like an allergic reaction. I mean, you're talking to just like the super hot dog wieners, you know, plumped in the lips, and they want to get teeth, and you can't even see their teeth. And I show them, you know, by just adding some composite material to their teeth, how long I'd have to make them in order to show based on the current lip size. And, you know, most of the time it ends up being like anywhere from 50% to 100% longer of a normal tooth length to compensate from this excessive lip size. And usually when someone sees it like that, they're like, okay, you know, it's time to get the, you know, go back to the dermatologist and get some dissolving done. So it's always great, you know, sometimes, you know, you send them back and you get it all dissolved, get the teeth and the function and the lip support back. And then the dermatologist can go back in and just tastefully refine it, you know, just kind of, you know, work on the vermilion border or, you know, or help with the philtrum and Cupid's bow and, or the plastic surgeon, same thing too. You know, they're just, you know, how they're going to have the skin lay, it just ends up being a lot different. You know, there's a plastic surgery procedure that's really popular right now called the lip lift, you know, where they're basically doing that incision below the nose. In a static position, you know, it can look really good. But, you know, a good surgeon who does that procedure will take into consideration the length of the teeth because if you have a shorter tooth length, you're going to have to pull up a lot more skin and that could affect your ability to close your lips together. So, you know, a lot of these things just really go hand in hand and need to be planned carefully.
That's true. What are some other observations about lip filler, lip asymmetry that you can give us relative to teeth,
Okay.
you've seen in your career? Because I think a lot of people don't understand the importance of, how the lip drapes over the dentition.
Yeah, so it's a great question. And you know what's interesting is when someone is just at their face is in at rest position and their lips are touching together. That's going to look a lot different when their mouth is talking and when they're smiling because now you have muscles activating. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, someone will have a dominant side and a weak side to their smile and to the musculature and how it pulls. If I see, you know, that one side is drooping down and I see less teeth and I say, okay, we need extra support in that area, then I start thinking about, okay, well, if there's no filler and it's just how it's draping, then we need more support on this side than we do on the other side. And you can add to the teeth in terms of the length and in terms of what we call the labial contour to make it more convex to help support that lip. but there's a way to test it, because what you don't want to do is just guess and then bond on these veneers and then find out it either A, it didn't help the lip move and get to a more symmetric position, or B, you overdid it and the teeth just look ridiculous in size. So in the veneer process, there's an intermediary step. We call them temporary veneers or a prototype veneer. I like to call it a trial smile, where I'll take a different type of dental material that looks just like teeth, and I can add it and hand sculpt it to the teeth myself, and then watch the lips move and add and subtract as needed. And that
Nice.
helps me figure out where the sweet spot is, in so I don't add too much or I don't do too little. And then once you've figured out where that is, the beauty of it at that point is now you can do a replica of it, take a digital scan, and you can work with your master ceramist and get a replica of what you've created because you've already tested it. And that's, like there's not too many procedures where you can test for that level of accuracy.
Amazing. And I saw you taking measurements. You use this incredible device that you do cephalometric measurements of the entire head and x-rays. So it's really, quite a scientifically driven process. But
Yeah.
how do you incorporate the art with that? Because everyone can measure, but not everyone can create art and harmony.
It's both. I mean, you have to be, it's like being analog and digital at the same time, and the technology helps you with accuracy, with time efficiency and so forth. But as an artist, I have always felt it's a more difficult one to teach because there's two things. The mind and the eye can either see it or it can't, and then the hands can either do it or they can't. I don't know. I don't know how else to explain it than that. What are your thoughts on that?
It really truly is an art and synthesis. Like you can give two people the same paint box and they'll come up with two completely different paintings, right? And I really like to look at a person, what's their aesthetic vibe, who are their muses of beauty, and like I want to someone who's great with their hands and very artistic. Even
Yeah.
I would prioritize art over like super analytical and scientific, because sometimes the artist in you can put together what looks right and what is right even better than the scientist in you.
100%, because there's no such thing as perfection in Mother Nature. I mean, Mother Nature is full of asymmetries, and that's what makes it so beautiful. And that's something that, computers and digital and AI just has not accounted for just yet.
I don't think they'll be able to replace us because of that element. These robots are not coming for our jobs, John, because of
No,
that. For one, I can write cursive.
yeah,
Number
that's right.
two,
I spent too many years of my life trying working on penmanship. But
like.
who knows? Maybe that helped with the development of my hand skills for teeth. It's quite possible.
Well, so, yeah. Are you an artist on the side? Do you do painting, ceramics, anything else, photography?
It's interesting. I couldn't draw a stick figure to save my life, but sculpting teeth came very naturally to me. And the artistic side of me is actually through a completely different venue. The only other thing I ever wanted to do in my life, other than being a dentist, was a professional skateboarder.
Wow. Oh
And
yeah, I
yeah.
saw that video of you with the skateboard. That's cool.
So yeah, I've been skateboarding for 39 years, and I never stopped. And actually, before my house burned down, unfortunately, I had a half pipe ramp in my backyard too. That may be like my greatest marital accomplishment, convincing my wife to let me put one of those in the backyard. Skateboarding for me has been the counterbalance to the analytical side and the rules that exist in dentistry. And it's very creative. And it allows, and there's no right or wrong way to do it, right? It's a complete form of expression. And what I find is that it really blend like it counterbalances my personality, but also complements it to the artistic side of dentistry. And because I've been doing both for so long, I don't even know how I would do one without the other.
I love that. I'm sure it's a great outlet for you. I do a little painting and pottery. So I think working with the hands is like a critical thing. And I also feel like it lets me turn off my brain when I'm working with my hands. And I'm using a different part of the brain, like, bringing forward the creative side. I'm very interested as we age to bring a lot of grace and vitality to my patients. And I wanted to talk a little bit about oral health and longevity. And how do you think oral health plays into longevity and overall wellness?
Yeah, well, we now know that the mouth is the gateway to the rest of the body. In fact, there was a Surgeon General's report. I want to say it was somewhere around 2010, but as science and knowledge has become better, and gut health has become wildly, popular talking point. Well, how do things get in the gut? It comes through your mouth, right? And everything that goes through your mouth affects everything else. We now know that bacterias that are in the mouth, they can actually cause problems related to blood pressure, diabetes, risk for stroke. There are links between oral bacteria and Alzheimer's. I mean, it's really staggering. And if you think about, the solutions that dentistry has offered over the years, there have been limitations, right? Because it was just, brush and floss and go to your dentist, like once or twice a year. And the patients that I take care of, they want to come every 3 months for their cleanings. And the reason for it is that when your mouth is in a perpetual state of cleanliness, the odds of you having dental problems, you got a cavity or periodontal disease, something like that, well, that goes down significantly. Number two, the amount of money you spend goes down too, because getting your teeth cleaned is far cheaper than getting a root canal or a crown or filling and things like that. And the other thing is that the awareness of how it affects the overall systemic health. There's been some pretty cool inventions that have come out. There's sonic toothbrushes. There's this other really cool device called Proclaim. Now, I have to put a disclaimer because I invested in the company, but basically, it's like a drive-through car wash in your mouth. You get your jaw scanned, and the ports from the pressure washers fit into all your crevices, and it's custom done. So if you think about flossing, where it's hard for a lot of people to get in, and so there's limitations with your own manual dexterity, this gets everything and it blasts all the plaque off in 7 seconds. There's a lot of cool stuff that's coming online. And so, other than my shameless plug on this one, it's just to make the listeners aware of, like, hey, technology is improving. It's easier to keep your teeth clean. And as a result of that, you're going to have a better systemic health. And if you have a better systemic health, then you're probably going to live longer, plain and simple.
Are there some dental habits that we should put at the very top of our list? I mean, I know we have to floss every day. I know we don't want to use alcohol-based based mouthwashes. I guess
Yeah, those are terrible. They, you know, they
terrible.
dry out all the tissues and so forth. I think, one of the number one drawbacks of the Western diet is the acidity and the amount of carbs that are in it. I mean, these are the things, because, with all the folks walking around drinking, what's that stuff called, La Croix or whatever, like that, the
Yeah.
lemon water, and it tastes really good. If you're sipping on
Iodine.
that stuff all day long, what you're doing is you're lowering the pH in your mouth and you're creating an acidic environment. And when you have an acidic environment in your mouth, your tooth enamel starts to demineralize. And that's what puts you at risk for getting cavities. So, we now know, like, hey, okay, avoid that stuff. But if you're not, at least, don't sip it all day long, after you have a glass or whatever, brush your teeth, because the toothpaste, there's sodium bicarbonate in it. We know you mix an acid and base and it neutralizes it. And if you can change the pH in your mouth, you can actually cause remineralization of certain areas of your tooth enamel. So, this is all relatively new information in dentistry, and it's starting to pick up more mainstream awareness now for the public.
I know you've been featured in Vogue and GQ and Vanity Fair and Forbes, and you're treating some really A-list Hollywood smiles. Can you give us an example of like a really favorite transformation or really memorable experience with a celebrity client that you've had?
Let's see here. Oh boy. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. So, as a celebrity dentist in Los Angeles, one of the questions I'm always asked is, how do I make people's teeth bright so they look amazing when they're on TV and in the movies? And I do a lot of that type of dentistry. But sometimes I get to do really cool one-off projects that are like the exact opposite. And a fun story is, one of my clients I've had for a long time is the actor Joaquin Phoenix. And he did this movie called Joker. And the movie won all kinds of awards, as did he. It's a phenomenal movie. And we actually made his teeth look terrible for the movie. And so it's kind of the opposite that people would expect me to do, but it also shows the impact on what a smile has, because you took someone who's, a leading man in Hollywood, and he's a handsome fellow, And his teeth in the movie, looked like, he was, like borderline homeless. And it affects, the aesthetic of the individual, but also creates more of an aged appearance too. So it's kind of neat. You got to do these projects that are, not what people would think that you would be doing with your day job, and it just adds a little variety. And then, you see the movie and you see your work up on the screen. It's a lot of fun. The other thing too is that with the Hollywood crowd, you get to know people on a much different level. As you form very warm and personal bonds with your patients. They're very deep, meaningful relationships. So really personal story. I had shared with you earlier, my home burned down in the fires in Pacific Palisades, and it's been, I'm not gonna lie, it's been a tough past few weeks, for my family, and just dealing with all of this. And so many people were just, horribly affected. Last night in Los Angeles, there was this mega concert at two venues called Fire Aid. I don't know if you heard about that.
I heard.
Yeah. And so one of my clients and friends, longtime, is the singer Pink, Alicia Moore. And she sent me a text over the weekend and said, "Hey, I know your home burned down. I feel terrible. And did you want to come as my guest for the show?" And I was like, "Oh my God, that would be absolutely amazing." So myself, my wife, my daughter, and she brought one of her little friends with her, and we went to the show last night. And it was just so amazing that all these artists, these people who, they're established, like they don't have to do these things, but they choose to do these things. And she was thinking of us, that it was a tough time for us, and she wanted to share what she brings to the world, which is the joy of music and supporting people and supporting our community. And so it was a real big pick me up. And as I'm sure you've experienced yourself over the years, we spend all this time giving everything we've got to our patients to give them the best of what we are able to do. I call it just depositing credits, right? We're just depositing credits constantly, and we do it because it's who we are. And then, every now and then, they say what goes around comes around, and some really nice things come back your way. And for me, the timing on this was really nice, just to have kind of a win, a pick me up, and to to be part of a festive environment. And and that wouldn't have happened if if I didn't have a good relationship with her as a friend and as a client in my office. So for that, I'm very grateful.
Well, I'm sure you have lots of deposits in the bank of having a good heart. So there you have it, guys. I have seen Dr. Murashi's work, and it is really, really superior. I just feel like it's got an aesthetic that's very exquisite, beautiful. It's undetectable. At the same time, it's transformative. So congratulations on your amazing work and artistry, and I hope to come see you someday in LA.
Thank you so much. It's been it's an honor and a privilege to be part of this.
Where can people find you on the gram and various handles if they want to reach out or find out more about you?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So my handle's the same for all the platforms. It's at Dr. John Marashi, DrJonMarashi, Marashi.
That's it for now, guys. I hope you learned so much about teeth and the importance of the lower face dental architecture to support your health and beauty, your breathing, your smile, your confidence, everything. Don't forget to check out John, and you can find me on our Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is the same. It's beautybydrk.com, where you can find our skincare line. And we will see you on the next podcast. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.
Mwah.